We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, broken eight, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palatia, right across the room and through the woods from where Granny's upstairs right now. She's got a fire brewing, and outside of the fire, she's chilling the most, snapping hits of chocolope in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to drive, some kind of fashion show, you got up, you do, but I'm having to come around, flats of party, oh, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, you do be sure, I got, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High tonight, toll free the number, 844-843-6879, to get on the bench, and the Celtics are blowing out, are getting blown out by the Nets, 120-101 with 2:49 left. They've left their entire starting five in the whole game. They left them in to just rub it in Boston's face. I mean, it was like a 7-point game, and then they just never came out. Any of them, Harden, Durant, and Irving have been on the floor the entire game. I mean, they never sat down once, I don't think. Carver, how did you ever see him sitting down? I mean, I saw Durant sit down once. But, I mean, they're still in. Now they're out. With 2 minutes left, they're finally leaving the game. But they left him in. Nash left him in the whole game to rub it in their face.
Yeah, they didn't want to go back to Boston.
Well, I guess not. I mean, but I've never seen that before. When you're this, when the series is over, when the game is over, and it's all over, but the shouting, there's nothing left to play for. It's done. And you still have your starters in, and there's 2 minutes left in the game. I just think that's just rubbing it in their face. I mean, name one NBA game that you've ever seen in your life, literally, where the starters don't come out when it's a blowout, when there's, never, you know, 5 minutes left.
Never happens. Never.
They always come out. Every night. Every game, everywhere, even playoff games that are decided, that are done. Like in the games that Embiid had 36 points, he did it in 28 minutes. Was he playing in the last 5 minutes of games? When the game was, when they were up 20? Never. It never happens. So there was no garbage time. There was no backdoor time. There was no get lucky on a bet at 12 and a half time because they left them all in. Now there's a minute and a half left, and they're all out of the game finally. The only one in there that has any talent at all is Harris. He's the only one on the floor right now that matters. But the Nets are just unbelievable. The one thing I noticed about them, Carver, my God. When they want to score, like when they really want buckets, we welcome in our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. So Harden had 34, 10, and 10. Irving, 25. Durant, 24. And it's like every time I turn around in the second half, I don't think I saw one of them miss a shot. I did. I watched Irving miss a shot, a three ball from the corner. That was it. But listen to the numbers. 10 of 17 for Harden. 4 of 7 from downtown. Irving, 9 of 14. 3 of 7 from downtown. And Durant, 8 of 16. 4 of 6 from downtown. I mean, every single guy that played scored. I mean, you get the gist of it. They do whatever they want. And I mean, late in the game, they're up 20. Harden shooting threes. I mean, just rubbing it in their face. And then Durant's like, well, if you're going to do it, then I'm going to do it. And then he pulls up and hits one. I mean, it is unbelievable. And then Irving cherry-picked layups, just complete fast-break layups, transition, like doing whatever he wants. I mean, they do whatever they want. I mean, they humiliate teams. You talk about tonight I heard Barkley say that the Bucks will beat them in a series because of their size and their rebounding, and that they're going to beat the Nets. That's probably a great theory for when you play a team that misses shots. You know what I mean? Like, these guys hit so many shots. They are so good that they just, like, I mean, they rarely miss. So, and Harris rarely misses. Harris did nothing in the game except he hit three threes and had six dimes and three rebounds. So my point is, none of them miss ever. What rebounds are you going to get when the ball goes through the hole? You know what I mean? Like, seriously, I want to believe that too, that the Bucks can beat them, or that it's going to be a great series, and I'm sure it will be. But I don't think it's going to be from missing jumpers. They don't miss very many jumpers. So Harden just did an interview after the game, right? And they won 123-109 or something like that. So he said, in not so many words, well, we're very special offensively. We can score at will. You got that right. I mean, honestly, I have never seen anything. I'm like, I'm sitting there watching a game. I had, you know, obviously the Nets to win. I went for the 12.5. Carver High knows that. That's fine. I go for it. I figure it's their elimination game. You've got to do anything to win, like to bring it home, right? And you got to add in garbage time, right? You got to add it in these NBA games. Next thing you know, they bring everybody off the floor with 5 minutes left. They bring in all the hacks, and then all hell breaks loose and you lose your bet, right? But with this team, they leave them all in until 2.5 minutes. There was 2 minutes left in the game when they pulled them. And so in the last 10 minutes, I don't think they missed a shot. I mean, they were literally, Claxton was doing thunder mill two-handed wind jam dunks. Like full, like, you know, those wind things out in the desert where they're trying to make energy. He was doing full windmill dunks with both hands. I mean, they were alley-ooping. They were still running fast breaks with 2 minutes left in the game. They were like, still like, you know what? You want to play us? We're going to rub it in your face. I mean, they have no mercy. Sweep the leg. Finish him, Johnny. Put him in a body bag. I mean, I just saw it. Every shot they took, they hit. I mean, honestly, like, I kid you not, I saw him miss a shot. I almost fell over when Irving missed a shot. They shot 51% from downtown and 47% from three. I mean, they were 15 of 32 from downtown. I mean, you're right on the cusp of almost 50% from three. I mean, that's how good they are. And they were 51% in the game shooting. I mean, they make more than half their shots. So the other team is at 43 and 27. That's the difference. One team's at 27, the other one's at almost, you know, 47%. 46.9 to me, where I come from, round it up, baby. That's 47%, right? And I am just blown away by what they do. I mean, Brown got some garbage buckets. He finished with 10. He does all the dirty work underneath for a small forward, for a guy like Brown, what he does for them on the, you know, dirty side of things, getting under the basket, getting second chances, tips, steals, loose balls, diving on the floor. That guy's a maniac. He really, Bruce Brown has fit on this team like a glove. And then nobody else plays. They played Tyler Johnson tonight for 11 minutes. Shamet for 22 minutes. He had 5 points. I think Shamet has been a disaster with the Nets. I really do. And I can prove it. He averaged 9 on the season. He had 5 tonight. 5 tonight. Averaged 8 in his last 10 games overall. 10 against Boston. 8 at home. Regular season, 9. Postseason, he averages 3 points because he doesn't play. And in his career, 9 points. So in the postseason, he averages 3. Had 5 tonight. I mean, that's ass to me. You're terrible. I mean, honestly. I had 5 points on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before the ball even went in play. I mean, we didn't even start the game yet, and I already had 5 points. I had 5 points just walking in the gym. I scored 1,000 points a day for 3 days. It was pouring rain here at Carver High. You know the deal. So, look, I was like, I told my son, I said, listen, we live in hell. It's just always miserable here, always in New York City. It's just always miserable. Everything you hear about it, Gotham, is true. It's just like a right out of a Batman movie. It's just always raining or snowing. One or the other. And then I'm like, Memorial weekend's ruined. Let's just play basketball. Let's just go 2.5-3 hours a day. And that's what we did. Pouring rain the whole time. I'm looking out the window at the gym. I'm like, I don't even care. Give me the pill. I'm shooting 30 footers. I must have played 1,000 games over the last 3 days. But the moral of the story is I score more points than Shamet when I'm in bed. Honestly. And he's like a 3-point specialist. They got him for his threes. No other reason. He's a shooter. He's a shooter that can't shoot anymore. That's what he is. He reminds me of Danny Green. Those two should be lovers. The way they miss shots. Do you remember the last 2 years, Carver High, watching Danny Green hack it up? I mean, the last 2 years. Do you remember how bad he was in the postseason?
Yes. Awful.
I mean, honestly. Don't even get me started. So the game's underway now. The Lakers come out first with a 3-ball, 3-zip in Phoenix. And you know, I want to get your opinion of this, Carver. I said today on Coast to Coast that there's no way that I believe LeBron James is having any part of, there's no AD in the game. The Lakers have no chance. So everyone has said, no AD, no chance. Everyone and their brother. You name it, they all bet on the Suns. The whole public's on the Suns, right? And then Barkley's on the Suns, all of them, everyone on TNT. They're all like, Suns, easy. This is their night to show everybody what they're made of. And then the Lakers have no chance without AD, basically, is what I've heard. And I told you, I said, they got Drummond, a 7-footer, and they got LeBron James. Anything's possible. Give me the 5.5. So it's 5-zip already, Lakers. And what do you think LeBron James is going to do in this game?
Well, I'll tell you what I think he's going to do because I bet him to score 35 plus. I was with you 100% this afternoon. I think that this is one of these games. LeBron's been quiet through these first 4 games. We know that he's nursing the injury and all this stuff. He hasn't had a LeBron game yet. And with this series 2-2 and no AD in the lineup, this is going to be one of those nights where LeBron's going to light it up. And he already's got a deuce. He had that bucket underneath right there for the second basket. He's going to have a night.
Your boy, D-Book, just hit a bomb. It's 5-3.
Oh, it's funny. I put together one of those crazy parlays that we show on the show every day. So
LeBron, a 3-ball from 30. Boom.
Well, so we've got our two guys are scoring right now. Let's hope they score all night long. We need LeBron and D-Book to both score 35-plus and the Lakers to win.
And then what is your ticket worth?
FanDuel was giving you like a $10, free $10 SGP this week for the playoffs. So that 10 is for like 490 or something like that. If all three
your
of
boy, those. Your boy LeBron just missed a 40-footer. He pulled up from 40. He's like my son.
He's chucking today.
My son's 16, right? He plays with grown men. And they don't like kids playing unless they're kids that can fill it up. And you're supposed to be 18 and play at this place. But if you're good, they'll let you play. And Gunner's good. And so they definitely don't like kids pulling up from 35 feet and shooting. The only problem is he pulls up from 35 and he makes 8 of every 10. I mean, my son can Drano from downtown. And he's playing against grown men and just humiliating them. I mean, humiliating them to the point where, like, one of them's going to, like, punch him. Like, he's just coming down to court. No one can guard him. He's too quick. And then he pulls up. He'll do a drop step and then a step back. And he'll have 8 feet of space. And he'll stick a 30-footer in your face. Sleep with your wife. It's pretty fun for me watching him play when I'm, you know, playing with him. Or even playing against him. He torches me. I can't guard him. I always tell people, though, before the game starts, I evaluate everyone. I'm like, I can't guard him. I can't guard him. I can't guard him. Anyone that's fast, I don't guard. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. Rick Caro's our sports business and legal insider. And Hot Dog Insider as well on Sports Grid and on Coast to Coast and Pharrell on the bench. He went to, I believe, a Olympic qualifier baseball game or something like that tonight with all these old guys from Major League Baseball, like the Todd Father and Matt Kemp, et cetera, that are on the USA baseball roster. Did you enjoy that experience, that game?
Yeah, I had a long conversation with Johnny Bench, who was sitting up there in the suite with me. He's turned out he's living in Palm Beach Gardens, and I was telling some stories, and he could overhear me, and they were political stories. And he said, "Politics is for another day. Why don't you just listen to the watch the baseball game?" And I was going to say, "Why don't you just, you know, shut up and watch?" But this is a Hall of Famer, right? So I can't do that. What I did say is, I didn't know your ears were as good as your bat speed, and he liked that. So that was Johnny Bench today. That's all I did today. And then, by the way, I still don't even know who won. Did we know who won?
I haven't the foggiest idea of the game. Who did they play?
Dominican Republic. The Big Poppy was there. I talked to him for a while. He was around. It was kind of... It was old home week. No, he did not. He did not play. There were some guys, some old major leaguers who I did not know, but the Todd Father did play, and Matt Kemp, and I was busy eating hot dogs, which, by the way, were not as good as they should be.
No, I believe that. So were they?
Yeah.
Were they like soggy hot dogs on the roller?
Soggy. Yeah, ballpark hot dogs need to be really good, right? Like Dodger dogs. But minor league ballpark dogs, even spring training dogs, after spring training is over in Florida State League parks, I guess the same way in Arizona, they're not as good because people don't prepare them with the appropriate modicum of care that you do during spring training. You have a different clientele and a different audience, and that's the way it is.
I think that minor league, or I believe the minor league parks where they play the spring training in, when they go from spring training to Florida A-ball, they actually just leave the hot dogs in the water from the end of training camp to the start of A-ball. And then the first night they have A-ball, they're like, the water's a little yellow, but once they boil it up and then start serving them up, nobody knows the difference until they get home and spend the night on the toilet.
Well, these hot dogs, I think these hot dogs were left pre-COVID.
I believe that. So, let me ask you this question. Did they look good for, like, the old geezer team that we have going?
Well, it's a combination of old geezer and young geezer. They were excited, but they've got to go through a really weird qualifying. There's an 8-team group, including Cuba. So this is a serious group. And if you don't win this group, then you get to qualify in some small Mexican city that nobody knows about for the final spot in June. So there's a little pressure. You know, it's home field advantage, but if you don't come in number one, then there's no guarantee of the team making it. And remember, there's been no Olympic baseball, I think it's since 2008, and it still hasn't been officially approved as a comeback sport but the host country gets to approve and request a couple of sports as a courtesy. And Japan, being a very significant baseball, you know, interested country, requested baseball to come back, I think maybe for one time only. So all of these Olympic programs are in the middle of kind of frenetic, are we starting, are we doing it, are we not? And you could tell this is not, Mike Socha was manager, so that's interesting. But there is a whole group of journeymen, young kids, and the old guys.
So the what happens is if you don't win your group, they make you play in a in Sinaloa in Mexico, and if you lose there, they make you smuggle cocaine into the United States through San Diego on your person. And if you
I don't know about that, I don't know about the last part. Yeah, but the Sinaloa part, I think is probably right. Yeah, right. He'd never to be seen again. That's why there's a lot of pressure on the team to win this week. That's all I got to say. Then they play Puerto Rico tomorrow night. And, you know, the Puerto Rican team, I think, is probably pretty good. Isn't Puerto Rico one of our protectorates? Don't we own Puerto Rico?
Well,
or at least we're...
Well, Puerto Rico, as you know, is a state, so you don't need a passport in Puerto Rico. And you also, apparently... I don't even think you need to be vaccinated to go to Puerto Rico. I believe it or not, like my buddy lives down in Puerto Rico, right, in the winter, and he's there for 6 months. Like, you know, people live in Florida, the snowbirds. He lives in Puerto Rico in the winter. He loves it. He loves it. And then, like, I told my wife once, 34C, who you know, I said, listen, let's go to Puerto Rico, and she won't even go to Puerto Rico. She won't even.
There's some nice places.
She won't even go to the place.
Yeah, well, but after the hurricane knocked out all the infrastructure, I guess I can understand what she's saying. But why is it fair that if we have Puerto Rico as a, they're not the 51st state, but they're a protectorate technically, why do we have a team that plays against us tomorrow night? I mean, that's not fair.
I don't know. She actually, I think she actually believes that it's like Haiti. I think she...
Well, you got to tell her that Dominican Republic and Haiti are the same island, but Puerto Rico is an entirely different island, so she shouldn't get all fretted out about it.
It's true. Now, let me ask you this question. We talked about it today on the TV, but not on the radio. So explain to me how it is that they're still going to have the Olympics with all the chaos that's going on over there right now with COVID. It is still... a massive problem there, from what I've gathered. I don't know about you, but I've heard it's like still out of control. They have variants going crazy, and it's just no one wants to have the Olympics that lives there. None of the people, the government wants it because they're trying to pretend like it's not happening. But the reality is the people that live there, they say it is, and the hospitals and doctors and everyone, the media, everyone knows it's happening. But then what they do is the people that talk about it being, a problem still, they just kill them. They kill them.
Oh, well, I was ready for a serious answer until the last 20 seconds there. But in all seriousness, 5,200 new cases per day, and SoftBank CEO, Rakuten CEO, all of those guys, and that's when you really start talking, when the corporations are saying it, quote-unquote, holding the games is not worth the loss of life and economic stagnation that could have come from a COVID-19 uptake. That's pretty, pretty significant. Canada and Australia not sending athletes to the Olympics due to the pandemic. On the other hand, if you postpone the games, if you cancel, it could be $25 billion. Billion, you're not going to recoup. Postponed them has already cost $800 million. So there's NBC and the pressure to play and the IOC on the one hand. They're the health officials and the corporations on the other. That's why I said it's going to be a very interesting 3 or 4 weeks.
So, Rick Haro with us, you talk about losing $25 billion. That's a problem. Now, losing $1 billion in already is a problem. $25 billion is a real problem. Now, let me ask you, when you're talking about no crowds, like that's what they want now, no crowds at all, and all the athletes, like big-name athletes, let's say Osaka, she's not going. And she's already got her own issues going here in Paris. And then she's already said, I'm not going anywhere near that. And Nadal's like, yeah, I'm not interested in any of that. But that's just tennis players. There are other athletes, right, I'm assuming, Rick, that are not interested in going there with all these problems going on. What are they going to do when none of the big names show up?
Well, you remember there was this whole conversation, we forgot about it, 2016, with the dreaded Zika virus in Brazil that was isolated. It was impacting certain, you know, women, affecting pregnancy. Most people sucked it up and went, and it wasn't a big issue. That doesn't mean this is not a big issue. And when you looked at the studies that you said, a recent poll, 83% want it affected, 43% canceled, 40% postponed. Those are huge numbers. And I know that there's a lot of people always in any city that talks about how the Olympics are a waste of money. It usually is not the case, and they usually do okay, especially recently. Australia, great. London, great. L.A. will be great. But 83%, that's a lot. And, again, when the big athletes say it's not worth it, that's another matter. We won't know that for another 3 or 4 weeks, I think, but that's why I'm saying it's an interesting month. It's a very interesting month.
Okay, so respectfully, I got 45 seconds here, then we'll break. How much longer does NBC have those Olympic rights? Do you know?
Yeah, 2028, as I remember it, and I think it's even longer with an option. And they pay dearly. I mean, this is their brand. You know, the NBC Olympic brand, as you know, summer, winter is big, and the Winter Olympics next year, don't look now, but they're coming up quick. They're next winter in China. So NBC has a lot at stake.
Yeah, here, let me spend more time in Asia in general to see if I can, let's see how many ways. If I can't get it in the summer, I'm sure I'll get it in the winter.
Can we get to the
I heard they have good hot dogs there. They got good hot dogs there, though.
All right, we'll come back with Rick Haro. I want to talk to him about NASCAR, who they're letting into their events, aliens only allowed into the NASCAR races. All right, so Pharrell and Avenged with Carver High, we're talking to Rick Haro. So you're these are the 20 games in Tokyo, right, that they were supposed to have. And then where?
Paris in 24.
Paris 24, 28 LA.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let me ask you. The games, they obviously, it would appear to me that NBC – they would rather have Paris and Los Angeles than the NHL. And that was their thinking. Like, where are we going to spend our money in sports? And they decided that they wanted Paris and LA over the NHL. Like, they had the Indy 500, which I love the Indy 500. You know I do, but I don't think anybody else cares about it. I really don't. Like, do you know one person besides me that watched the last 10 laps of the Indianapolis 500? Seriously.
Yeah, me. And me. And I also watched the Castroneves Spider-Man thing. That was kind of fun because nobody else would do that. So, you know, you got a 46-year-old guy doing it. The answer is, though, that the ratings, I'm sure, were abysmal. And they are reflective of the fact that the Indy 500 doesn't foster the superstars like it used to. Plus, there's no... You know, I know there's the series, the IndyCar series, but it's people who are not American superstars. Let's put it that way, and it's not like the old days when we could talk about AJ Foyt and Unser and Mears and those kind of guys. That mattered on Memorial Day. That was a Memorial Day staple for me. I would never know what it meant, but I would listen to it on radio when I was growing up. We did have radios when I was growing up. It was just beginning to come into a fashion, radios, and it was a big deal.
Well, I know, you know, and Andretti and Danny Sullivan, and it went on and on.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And Penske, it went on and on, and there was it was great. But now, you know as well as I do, I mean, I don't think there's a soul on the face of the earth that actually likes IndyCar racing. Like, I like it, so I hope people aren't misinterpreting what I'm saying right now. Like, I've gone to the Indy 500. I think it's cool. I like watching Grand Prix. I like watching IndyCar. I like watching cars go 230 miles an hour. Believe me, I got no problem with NASCAR either. You and I have been to a ton of races. But I don't think the general public gives a rat's ass about it. And I'll be honest with you, in all honesty, like, I love hockey even more than that. But I don't think people care about that either.
Well, but it's certainly not because of the lack of excitement. I know we're switching the subject a little bit, but I just, you know, I got home from that Olympic qualifier. Then I watched the end of the Carolina-Tampa Bay, another 2-1. Is there anything better than the last 2 minutes of those two games? I mean, it's unbelievable. Then you compare it to NBA early round playoffs, especially the blowouts, the snoozers, which there are a lot of these days, and it's no comparison to me. I mean, as far as excitement is concerned.
Listen, I don't disagree with you. I admire it as much as anybody. Like, Carver High and I don't miss any hockey games. I'm just talking about, like, the general public, the average layman, the guy with a family, whatever, and it's Memorial Weekend, and he's like, what am I going to do? Here in New York, it was pouring rain. I played basketball. Everybody else, I don't know. Maybe they are. You're stuck inside. Maybe they are watching hockey. Maybe they are watching IndyCar. I just don't believe it. Now, I know that NBC is out of the hockey business, but the NHL is always bragging about their ratings. I mean, they are every single time there's a story about ratings with the NHL, you would have thought they took over the world. I mean, they 65 times higher than last year. They're always bragging about their number. I mean, they are the spin club they got going over there. Whoever spins those ratings into PR press releases is a genius, because the way they describe it, they've got every living soul on the planet watching their games for the entire 3 hours. But you and I both know that those are their lies. It's just not true. It is not true.
Well, let's see what happens.
Children are watching hockey. Don't tell me they are, because they're not.
No. Well, avid fans. But then the question is, what does avid mean? How many are there? Like we know here in South Florida, you remember I did a kind of a study early about bringing the NHL to Miami, and we put a study together saying the Cubans got to like it because they like fighting. Well, they don't understand hockey. There's what, maybe a core of 20,000 people here in South Florida that are avid hockey fans. They'll watch anything, anywhere. But beyond that, you may be right, and we're not going to know, because once ESPN and ESPN Plus pick up, along with Turner, a lot of the value is going to be in streaming. And we're not going to really figure out how to quantify streaming for a while. Streaming sounds good. Everybody loves it. It means you can get every game everywhere. But I'm not sure we know how to make money off it yet.
Well, here's the truth of it. Like, so when I watch on I have ESPN Plus, right, on my phone. And so when I watch the UFC or the NHL, because they already have it, they have games on there.
Right.
They're already airing games on it. So when I literally cannot watch, and this is just me, I have an iPhone 11. Here it is. And I cannot watch a hockey game on it without losing interest. Like, I cannot watch hockey even sideways, like this, sideways, holding it sideways, or up and down. Up and down's even worse. Sideways, up and down, I feel like I'm on a FaceTime call, like watching a hockey game sideways even. It's I guess better. It's bigger. It's the whole width of your hand.
You can't.
But I just cannot.
You
comprehend.
Can't follow the puck.
I just can't enjoy the game, any game of anything that small to me. Like I'm sitting there looking at it on my phone. I'm trying to listen to it on my phone, or I'm watching it on my phone. Like, I watch these UFC fights all the time. I'll have it on like a charging pad, and I'm watching a movie with my wife. And she's like, what are you watching? I'm like, I got the fight on over here, because, you know, our boxing, I'm watching it on ESPN Plus, and I find it painful. I find it just doesn't fulfill me. I don't know about you, Carver. Hi to you. Have you ever tried to watch these games on your phone? Do you find any enjoyment out of that at all?
Well, no. I mean, I don't really do it. I have the ESPN Plus on the phone, but mostly I use the ESPN Plus on my television, whether it's a Fire Stick, etc. That's where I get the most use out of it.
Oh, so you just transfer it to your TV.
Correct.
Yeah.
I watch ESPN Plus on the TV.
And I, you know what, I agree that I'm not going to watch it on a phone unless I want to kind of sit out on the dock and reminisce about stuff and see the weather and all that kind of stuff and just all watch it there because I don't have any other place to watch it. But right. I've decided today, because I'm an old guy and I get to do whatever I want to, so I sat down, fed the dog, put my face right in front of the 70-inch TV and watched the end of the Tampa-Carolina game. I'm probably going to get a big headache, but boy, it looks great when you're like 7 inches away from a 70-inch TV. You know, you probably get radioactive stuff. My brain's going to freeze.
Obviously, I have an 80-inch TV that I watch sports on. I have three of them, and I know that there's nothing like it, and it's awesome. Like, the experience of going to – I'll be honest. The experience of going to an NFL game and sitting there – I have season tickets to the Steelers, and it's fun to, you know, go road trip on the plane, fly in, go to the game, fly out with your son or whatever, a friend, go in, go out, and, you know, rent a car, go to the stadium, go to the game, have a good time. It's cool. But there, it doesn't compare to watching every single game all day long on, like, the Red Zone channel on an 80-inch TV in the comfort of your own home. I don't care what anybody says. There, it's night and day. It, you can't even compare, in my opinion, going to watching all the games at once on a giant TV or in a theater setting. Like, I have friends with, like, movie theaters in their house, and you watch a game in there and Red Zone all day long. You'll never go to a game again as long as you live.
Right, and you and me both, pal, we're in the same situation. What that really means, too, is, and it, I don't really care what the NFL says about providing a great in-stadium content experience and making sure it's different than at home. Yeah, it's different than at home. You don't get to watch all the games at the same time, and you have, you know, sweaty neighbors that, you know, spill stuff on you. So I get it. I think the, for me, it's... And then there's the, you know, the politics. You go, you got to talk. And when I go to a game, I want to go to a game. I want to watch it. You know, you and I will be texting each other from our respective 80-inch televisions, watching seven games at once, and looking at Marty, looking like Marty Feldman at the end of Blazing Saddles. Remember where he had the two eyes pointed in two different directions.
So NASCAR extended its at-track access program for VIP guests. And what is that? Nobody has to wear if they're. If they're vaccinated, you're good to go. What is that about?
Yeah, you can roam the garages, the pit road. They're satisfied that bringing guests back to the infield has not compromised the ability to pull off events during the pandemic. So the Coca-Cola 600 in Charlotte this past weekend and the following week's transactions at Sonoma, you're allowing the program had been extended where you can basically go where you want. And for NASCAR, it's a little bit different because it is wide open spaces, but there's nothing more petri dish-like as far as spreading stuff, potentially, than a crowded infield. Now, a crowded infield with vaccinated people, that's a different story.
So, there you go. Like, I got to tell you, I'm just being honest. I haven't watched a NASCAR race. I don't know. When is the last time, Carver, how you watched a NASCAR race of any kind, of any significance?
Maybe a Daytona 500 years
ago. The last lap?
Years ago.
I'll only turn on a NASCAR if there's 10 laps or less left. That's it. There's no chance I'm sitting through the rest of that race.
There you go. Here we go. Amazon is buying MGM in $9 billion deal. That's huge, Rick.
Well, and the reason they're doing it is like every other deal. They want content. They want a movie studio. They want to be able to stream everything. And one of the things that they're talking about is making sure that they're out ahead of the other streamers, you know, ESPN and Disney and Peacock and NBC and Paramount and CBS. It is ironic because years ago you would have four networks. Then you had 5,000 TV stations. Now we may be back to four or five networks, and they're all under the same umbrella. You know, that's the process. So it'll be really interesting to see how this all shakes out.
Viacom expects to make $7 billion in streaming revenue globally by 2024. And then others, Disney's already, they brought in $7.5 billion in the 6 months ending April 3rd. Like, I mean, if the rest of the year, they'd be at $14, $15 billion in revenue. Respectfully, I got under a minute.
Yeah, so... the driven advertising TV revenue from Viacom has jumped to $1.8 billion for the first quarter, up 40% year over year. So the point is, it's streaming, which is prolific, but it's also not just streaming, because the traditional advertising is coming back because of the pandemic. I will tell you that Kimbrell's action is moving better than I've seen it in a long time. He's about to rack up another save, and the Cubs are about to win, in case you care.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So the Leafs registered the highest average of
yes,
cross-platform engagement of any team in the NHL during the season. Glad that engagement ended last night. There'll be no more Leaf engagement of any kind whatsoever. Rick, thank you. Great stuff. We'll see you next
no
week.
No more Leaf engagement. Canadian engagement. Bye.
The Canadian people don't even like the Leafs anymore. It's Pharrell on a bench. So Carver High and I are watching the Lakers get their ass pummeled by the Suns tonight. It's 42-27, 8:39 left in the second. The Suns are at the line, 8 and missed the first. Series tied 2-2. They're in the Valley. They're in Phoenix. They're trying to go up 3-2 on the Lakers. The one thing that we noticed was you and I both at the same time are like, I mean, Marc Gasol is such a fat ass, and he looks so old and so washed and so finished. And like, he looks like your uncle that let you drink beer when you were 17. I mean, this guy is literally, he looks like he's right. I mean, does he not, you can't even describe how out of shape and fat and slow he looks. I mean, honestly, Carver, I just say it. Like, I'm not
I can't, I honestly can't believe like he's playing. Like, they just took him out. They just got him off the floor finally. But like, he is just miserable. Like, he just looks so out of place out there. That's how bad he looks.
He looks like, I mean, and then he'll hit a three once every 25 minutes. But the bottom line is, these are the hacks. I've been telling you for an entire season, you've heard me say a million times that it's a two-man team. That's it. It's LeBron and Davis, and the rest of them are all hacks, all of them. And I know nobody wants to hear that in L.A. They all can't bear to hear it. But, what has any of them ever done? Now, I know they got a title last year because of LeBron and Davis. But, like, these guys, Caruso, Schroeder. Like, I'll take Rondo over Schroeder every 6 ways till Sunday. Every time. And then these guys like Pope and everything, they all, and Kuzma, they act like they're this badass bunch. But here's the deal. I've told you, when Davis and LeBron aren't playing, you see how bad they really are. All you have to do is tune in right now to watch LeBron with this hack-ass team on the floor getting pelted.